We read our text verse together a few moments ago, Acts chapter 12, verse 11, where the Bible says, "Now when Peter was come to himself, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.'" This morning, the title of my message, if you noticed in the bulletin, is one word, delivered. Delivered. And just like Peter, I want you to know for a surety that you have been delivered from sin, been delivered from hell, been delivered from Satan. The Bible says that we can know that. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And my desire this morning is that every single person, in a few minutes when we get up and leave this place, you will know that you have eternal life. Peter was imprisoned by Herod. Now, this Herod was the grandson of Herod the Great, the Herod that the wise men had visited, the Herod that had killed all the babies trying to kill he that had been born king of the Jews. His nephew, Herod the Great's nephew, named another Herod, was the one that beheaded John the Baptist. Now, this Herod that we read about here in Acts chapter 12 was the grandson of that first Herod. And you can see that cruelty passed from generation to generation as they fought against the King of God. This Herod had already killed James the apostle, James the early leader of the church. And because it pleased the Jews, because it made the Jews happy that he'd killed James, he arrested Peter and put him in prison. The Bible tells us in that passage that we read that he was delivered to four cordons of guards. In other words, there were 16 soldiers in all that guarded Peter, four at a time. There were four in the prison cell with him, chained to Peter, and there were two inside the prison cell with Peter, chained to him, and there were two outside the prison door. Four guards at all times. And Peter was to be put to death after Easter, or after Passover a time. Again, this was to please the Jews. These Jews had religion, but it didn't impact what they did. I mean, it impacted what they did a little bit, but not much. They killed Jesus, but their religion said, we can't leave his body on the cross on the Sabbath. We're going to kill Peter, but we're not going to do it on the Passover. And I don't know about you, but religion that doesn't impact your life very much is not much religion. Religion ought to change. The religion that we have, the faith that we have, ought to change what we do. That's what we sing that song. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into our heart. And that's the way it ought to be. When Jesus comes into our heart, there ought to be things that show up on the outside that people can see and say, hey, there's a follower of Jesus Christ. There's somebody that's trying to be like Jesus. And so Peter, in this true story, paints a picture of the condition of every lost sinner. You see, we're all sinners here this morning. Every single one of us are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. But there's some of us that are saved sinners, found sinners, and some of us are unsaved sinners or lost sinners. And Peter here represents a lost sinner. Those that are imprisoned by sin. Those that are imprisoned by the great deceiver, Satan. Those that are bound, guarded by his demons, face a certain death. A death that they already live in, spiritual death separated from God, and an eternal death when they're sent to hell. And there is nothing, notice, in the picture that is painted in this passage of Scripture, there is nothing that Peter can do to escape the prison. There's no way that he could break the chains that chain him to these two soldiers that are in the cell with him. There's no way that he could escape those two guards that were in the cell with him. There's no way that he could open the prison door. There's no way that he could overcome the two guards that are standing outside the door. Just like there's no way that you as a lost sinner can pay for your sin, can pay the price of your sin. There's nothing that you can do on your own to pay that price. But I want you to notice something. Peter was prayed for. In verse 5, we read it, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Trouble had come to the life of Christians. The church was being persecuted. Stephen, one of the early deacons, had been stoned. James had been killed already by Herod. There was a famine in Jerusalem. That's why Paul was bringing relief to Jerusalem. And now Peter was put in prison. So what did the church do? I mean, the church couldn't break into prison. They couldn't break the chains from Peter. They couldn't overcome the guards that were in the cell with him on the inside and on the outside. The church could do nothing to free Peter physically, but what they could do, they could pray. And so they united in prayer, a prayer that went on without ceasing, a specific prayer for God to save Peter. When trials come into our life, Gary sang about it this morning, in the storms of life, we need to pray for God to be with us. We need to pray for God to stand by us. We need to pray for God to lift us up and help us to get through those trials. But God also expects us to pray for other people. He expects us to pray for those that are sick. He expects us to pray for those that are going through circumstances that is a hardship in their life. But he also expects us to pray for those that are lost. He expects us to pray for those that don't know Jesus as their Savior. He expects us to pray for those that are living apart from God, spiritually dead, headed for hell for all eternity. We're to pray without ceasing for those to come to Christ. We're to pray earnestly for those to come to know Jesus. Again, the church couldn't go in to rescue Peter, but they could go to the one who could rescue him. They could go to the one that had the power to break those chains and to overcome the guards and to open the prison door. They could go to the one that had the power to do that, and they could beg God to do it. And so they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And the Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It sure did avail for Peter, because he was delivered. He was delivered. The Bible says he knew for a surety that he had been delivered from Herod. He had been delivered from death. He had been delivered from the Jews. He had been delivered to life. He was freed from that prison. Now, I want you to know, that's my introduction. I want you to notice how he was delivered. And you're in for a blessing this morning, because I not only have 3 points, I have twice that many plus one. I have 7 points this morning. 7 is God's number. Amen. So you're getting a godly sermon this morning, because there's 7 points. So here we go. Number one, how was Peter delivered? And by the way, pay attention if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, because these are the 7 ways that God can deliver you. If you don't know Christ this morning, this is the same way that you can be delivered from your sin. Number one, a light shined in the prison. It was night. It was dark. Peter faced death tomorrow. The next day, they were going to put him to death. Then he saw a light, and that light changed everything. It was like Saul of Tarsus, who was on the road to Damascus with letters in his pocket so that he could arrest and persecute Christians. And the Bible says there in Acts chapter 9, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. The light in this prison cell. Yeah, I know there was an angel there. And I know angels are creatures of light. But the light that I believe filled this prison cell that night was a light from heaven. I believe that light was the Lord Jesus Christ just as much as it was on the road to Damascus for Saul of Tarsus. The light of the world is Jesus. And if you want to be free from your sin, if you want to be free from the certain eternal death that awaits you because of sin, you have to see the light of the world. You have to see Jesus as he shines in your life. You say, preacher, Jesus isn't shining in my light. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He shines in the light of every person because he's not willing that any person perish and go to hell. He wants every person to be saved. If you're lost this morning, he's shining in your life. You just haven't opened your eyes and seen him. He's there. And he wants you to see the light that's shining. The song says the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. So a light shined in the prison. Number two, the Bible says the angel smote him. The angel came and hit Peter. I don't know if he slapped him on the back, shook him, but he smote Peter to wake him up, to get his attention. He was sleeping. Again, the light's shining, but Peter's not going to see it unless he wakes up. And so the angel comes and said, Peter, wake up, see the light. God does that for every lost sinner. He sends the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. He sends the Holy Spirit to help us see the light of the world, to help us see Jesus. He's not going to just let us sleep. He's not going to just let us keep our eyes closed. He's going to give us the opportunity to open our eyes and see the light of the world. And so he comes to us. And maybe it's not a physical shake, although sometimes I think it is. Maybe it's a shake of circumstances. Maybe it's a shake of things that come into our life. But somehow God gets our attention and says, wake up and see the light. So the light shined in the prison. The angel smote him. And then number three, the angel raised him up. The angel said to Peter, arise up quickly. Just like earlier in his life, when Jesus had come to the disciples in the middle of a storm, they were on a boat. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. It's me. And Peter said, if it's really you, then let me walk on the water to you. And Jesus said, come ahead. And Peter gets over the railing of the boat. He gets on the water and he starts to walk toward Jesus. He's walking toward Christ. He's walking on top of the water. Peter had never done that before. He's walking in the middle of the storm. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he stayed on top of the water. But the Bible says he took his eyes off Jesus, put his eyes on the storm. Put his eyes on the waves that were raging, felt the wind as it was blowing through the sea. And he started to sink, and he prayed, Lord, help me. And the hand of Jesus came, grabbed Peter. Peter didn't grab the hand of Jesus. Jesus grabbed Peter and lifted him up. So in the same way, in this instance, the light came into the prison. The angel smote Peter and said, Peter, get up, rise up, get up. We sing that song. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. If you're saved this morning, you can rejoice because one day the master of the sea heard your cry for help, grabbed a hold of you and pulled you out of that raging sea of sin and put you on a solid rock. He put you on himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're saved this morning. Your sins are forgiven this morning. You're headed for heaven this morning because you saw the light. And you let him raise you up. So the angel raised him up. And he said, number four, Peter, gird yourself. Bind on your sandals. You see, God doesn't want to just save us. He's got something for us to do. And so he said, Peter, get up, get dressed, put your shoes on. I've got something for you to do. Not something for you to do to earn your salvation. Not something for you to do to justify me saving you. We can't do that. We can't justify God sending his son to die in our place. We can't justify our salvation. But the angel told Peter, get up, gird yourself, put your sandals on. God's got something for you to do. He wants you to grow as a Christian. He wants you to mature as a Christian. He's got a job for you to do. And so Peter got up, girded himself, put on his sandals. Then notice what happened. The chains fell off. The angel didn't have to pick them. The angel didn't have to look for the key inside the Roman's guard and say, hey, let me open these chains. They just fell off. In a miraculous way, the chains that bound Peter fell off. We get it backwards. We get saved and we say, God, clean me up and then I'll serve you. And God says, no, that's not how it works. You start serving me, then I'll clean you up. You start serving me, and then all the things that you were involved in before you got saved will fall away. You'll lose the appetite for them. You'll lose the desire for them. You won't want to be around them anymore. It's not that happens first, and then we start serving God. It's we get saved, and then we start serving God, and then God removes all those desires. God removes all the lusts that we have for the things that the world has to offer. So the chains fell off. Number six, now notice this. He wist not that it was true. The light shined in the prison. The angel shook him, said, Peter, get up. Put your clothes on, put your shoes on. And the chains fell off. And Peter said, this can't be happening. It must be a dream. The Bible says he thought that he saw a vision. This is too good to be true. It just can't be happening in real life. It must be a dream. When I first got saved, when I was first forgiven of my sins, that night in my pastor's study, when I saw the light of the world, when I saw Jesus, and I let him lift me up, I said, it's too good to be true. It's too good to be true. It must be a dream. Somebody else deserves it, but not me. Somebody else deserves it, but I don't. I want to tell you something. I've been saved for 54 years, and I still think and have a hard time believing that it's true. I think Carol testified about it Wednesday night or last Sunday night about that song, Oh, What a Wonder That Jesus Loves Me. I don't want to ever get over being saved. I don't want to ever get over feeling that I don't deserve what God did for me. I don't want to ever get over the wonder of my salvation. I want to live in the reality that God did something for me that I did not deserve, that I can never earn, that I can never pay back, that God did something for me as a pure act of grace. A pure act of grace. Now, we didn't read it, but I'll just give you the rest of the story, so to speak. Number seven, you know what Peter did? He went to the house where the church was gathered and was praying for him. He knocked on the door, and a little girl came to the door, and Peter said, let me in. And this little girl went running back to the church that was praying for Peter to be released and said, Peter's at the door. They said, it can't be. Can't be. He's in prison. There's no way that Peter can be at the door. Well, they kept hearing a knock. Peter kept knocking. Finally, one of the adults went to the door, looked out, and it was Peter. Isn't that typical of the way we pray sometimes? We pray and pray and pray and pray, and God answers our prayer, and we say, can't be. Can't be. Here was Peter standing at the door. He wanted to get in. And when they finally let him in, you know what he did? He rehearsed for the church what God had done for him. He gave his testimony. Hey, let me tell you how God delivered me. Every single one of us that names the name of Christ, that knows that we're saved, ought to be able to share our testimony. we ought to be able to say, let me tell you how God delivered me. Let me tell you how God found a lost sinner and saved him. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. There's people in our lives, people that God brings us in contact with every day that need to hear that message, that need to hear the gospel. They need to hear what happened to us. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing if you can take the Bible and take them down the Roman roads and show them scripture that they're lost and that only Jesus can save them. But you know what's more effective? Is telling them what happened to you. I was a sinner. God loved me in spite of my sin. He sent his son to die on Calvary for my sins. And I believe that. And I receive that. And Jesus saved me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. If you're here today and you're lost, if you're separated from God because of your sin, look at the light of the world. Let me be the one that shakes you and says, hey, wake up. Wake up. There's the light of the world. He's shining in your life. He wants to save you. He's got his hand outstretched and ready to grab you if you'll let him, to lift you up and pull you out of sin, pull you out of eternal damnation, pull you into salvation, pull you into the family of God. Would you let him this morning? He's willing to do that for every person. He's able to do that for every person, but he will not violate our will. We have to say yes to him before he does that. If you're a Christian here this morning, like most of us are, then you rejoice again. Think back to that time that you were saved, that time that you asked Jesus to be your Savior. Rejoice that you saw the light. Rejoice that he lifted you up. Rejoice that you're a member of the family of God this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this story in Peter's life that reminds us what you do for every sinner, how you let the light shine and wake us up so that we can see us, willing to pull us up, and Father, make us part of your family. And I pray for every single person that's here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. Let this be the day of their salvation. Let this be the day they realize they're a sinner and that sin separates them from you, and that Christ went to the cross and died in their place. And if they'd simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And so, Father, if there's just simply one person here this morning that's never asked Christ, in just a few moments, help them walk down the aisle. And we'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to rejoice again in what we have in our salvation. Help us to never take it for granted. Help us to never get over being saved, but to always rejoice that Jesus is our Savior. He died for us, and we have heaven to look forward to. We know of a surety that we have been delivered from sin and from hell. Make it so for every person this morning, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.